It's dark and twisted. Secrets are unearthed and loyalties are tested. Hello and welcome to Talk Bookish to Me, the podcast where readers gather to talk about books, share recommendations, and chase that five-star feeling. I'm your host, Gwen, and today I'm joined by Elise to discuss the newest release from Simone St. James, Murder Road. Thanks for joining me today, Elise.
Thanks for having me, Gwen. As you said, my name is Elise, and people can find me over at Literately Elise over on BookTube and on Bookstagram. And I read a little bit of everything, but lately it's been thrillers and fantasy.
I love that. Thrillers will always have my heart. fantasy, not so much, but I do love thrillers. So we're going to jump right into the discussion today, and we're obviously going to be spoiling the book. So if you haven't read it yet, I suggest waiting until you have before listening to the episode, or maybe you don't have any plans to read the book and you just want to hear what we thought. That's okay too. All book discussions are announced on Instagram prior to the discussion. You can always leave a voicemail sharing your thoughts on the book, and I will include those on the podcast. Make sure you follow Talk Bookish Podcast on Instagram to stay up to date on when the next discussion is happening and the deadline for all voicemails.
Let's set the scene. It's July 1995. April and Eddie have taken a wrong turn. They're looking for the small resort town where they plan to spend their honeymoon. When they spot what appears to be a lone hitchhiker along the deserted road, they stop to help. But not long after the hitchhiker gets into their car, they see the blood seeping from her jacket and a truck barreling down Atticus Line after them. When the hitchhiker dies at the local hospital, Eddie and April find themselves in the crosshairs of the Cold Lake Falls police. Unexplained murders have been happening along Atticus Line for years, and the cops finally have two witnesses who easily become their only suspects. As April and Eddie start to dig into the history of the town and that horrible stretch of road to clear their names, they soon learn that there is something supernatural at work, something that could not only tear the town and its dark secrets apart, but take April and Eddie down too.
Simone St. James is the New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of The Book of Cold Cases, The Sundown Motel, and The Broken Girls. After years of writing and collecting rejections, Simone's debut novel, The Haunting of Mattie Clare, won two Rita Awards from Romance Writers of America and an Author Ellis Award from Crime Writers of Canada. An Inquiry into Love and Death was nominated for another Author Ellis Award. Simone spent 20 years behind the scenes in television business before leaving to write full-time. She lives just outside of Toronto, Canada, with her husband and a spoiled rescue cat. She is addicted to sushi, rainy days, coffee, and my favorite murder. So, have you read any other books by this author, and will you read any of their future releases based on your experience with Murder Road?
I have. I've read The Sundown Motel and The Broken Girls. I think Sundown Motel I rated 4 stars, and The Broken Girls was about 3. With The Haunting of Mattie Clare, I've tried reading that one a couple of different times, and unfortunately I DNF'd it both times.
Okay, that's fair. You tried.
Yeah, I did. But certainly, you know, if there's another release in the future and the synopsis sounds good, I will definitely give it a go.
I have also read some other books by her. I've read The Broken Girls, The Sundown Motel, and The Book of Cold Cases. Will I continue to read books she publishes? I'm not sure, to be honest. I think if readers like supernatural paranormal stories, Simone St. James is where it's at, but I don't really think I enjoy that stuff. It took me a while to get there, but I think with this book, I was kind of like, I don't know. But I'm also like, her synopsis is always sounds so good. I just don't like the supernatural paranormal. I don't. So, who would you recommend this book to, and are there any other books, maybe movies, anything else that you can compare it to?
Well, I definitely think anyone that is a fan of crime mysteries would like this book. But again, with the supernatural element, it could definitely turn some people off. And as far as what I could compare it to, the only thing I could think of was The Spite House by Johnny Compton. And I can't exactly say why.
Good recommendation. So I would say combining the elements of crime fiction and the supernatural, The Whisper Man by Alex North is one I would recommend. If you like to be creeped out with things going bump in the night, I'd suggest trying like Hidden Pictures by Jason Rukalek. But above everything, if you enjoyed this book, you need to dive into her backlist. Maybe the newer-ish stuff, like the ones that we've read, Broken Girls, Sundown Motel, and I really liked The Book of Cold Cases. That was my favorite by her that I have read. Still paranormal, but not quite like the other ones I've read from her. So, more crime, more like true crime, it felt like. And I love true crime. So, let's discuss the characters. What did you think about the amount of characters? Were there any that you liked or disliked? And did you have any theories of whodunit? I always say whodunit because, like, what else do you call it? Like, what was going on? So, you know what I mean.
I do. Well, as far as the amount of characters, I thought there was a good amount, you know, not too many, not too little. April's character, though, I found her to be a little bit annoying, especially in the beginning. She was kind of going on and on about how she's so pretty and people take notice of it. And I think she made some questionable decisions as well. And just being in her head all the time got to be a bit much. But one thing that I did like, though, is that sometimes when I'm reading books, I am able to fan cast some characters, and I was able to do that with this book. So actually, for Eddie, I was picturing Alan Richson. He played in Blue Mountain State and Reacher. And then for April, I was picturing Sydney Sweeney. She was in the most recent rom-com, Anyone But You. And then I really did like Rose. I thought she was kind of fun and grumpy, and my heart really went out to her for the things that she had to deal with. And then, of course, the two sisters that were helping Eddie and April. As far as whodunit, I honestly had no idea. I was just kind of along for the ride, and no theories came to mind.
Yeah. When you go into books like this, do you try to figure it out? Or are you like me, where you're just along for the ride?
Sometimes, but I think for the most part, I just like to be along for the ride, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if it's thrown in my face, like, I did it, then I'm like, okay. But yeah. Okay. So as anyone knows or should know by now, I keep an extensive character list for the books I read for book discussions, book clubs, or just ones that have a lot of characters in general. I'll show you, Elise. So I use this app on my iPad called Notability. And I started using it this year, and I absolutely love this app, but it's basically like with using my Apple Pencil, you can just write all your thoughts and stuff. And so if you look at my notes for this book, hold on. I really go all out.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So I'll write page number. So I really do.
That is detailed.
You know, I'm detailed because I do read a little bit ahead of schedule so I can prepare for the episode. I also do a reading vlog for my patrons. And so a lot goes into these book discussions for me. So if it's, you know, if I read the book a month ago, I still have a great source of like all of my thoughts and all of my feelings and things that stood out for me. But I will say that I do not think that amount of like character lists and stuff like that was necessary for this book because there weren't that many main characters or important side characters. There was like no confusion happening with this one. So, woo, like bonus points because I really do get caught up in the character sometimes. I really, really liked the sister Beatrice and Gracie. And I wished that they were utilized earlier in the story. I did like both Eddie and April because they had layers to their character. They were both flawed individuals. And I was interested in their backstory. And finally, Rose. Like at the beginning, I was a little sus. Rose, I don't know. But she really grew on me. And like you, like I just felt so like, oh, she dealt with so much. And as for the whodunit, I wasn't trying to guess, but I did initially have a feeling that it could be the owner of the house on Hunter Beach, just because they never like gave us a name or they were like, oh, it's just this like mysterious owner of Hunter Beach that lets these teenagers come and hang out. I was like, who does that? Like, sir, that's not good. Like I said, this haven that like young drifting teenagers go to, and maybe they were like luring them there or something like that. I also thought it would have been really crappy if it was Rose, but that was definitely like, I was like, she sounds a little like, because the police just kind of dropped them off at Rose's house. Like, I was like, is she working with the cops? Is she in on it? Like, what's going on? She was a character for sure. And then Detective Quentin also had his moments because there were two separate times when he was described as not dressing like a detective. And I was like, why does she keep mentioning this? Like, why is the author like literally keep, he's not dressed like a detective, so maybe he's not. Like, I was just like, I was overthinking it for sure. And then when Eddie and April asked to see his ID, I don't think he ever showed it to them. So that was like early on, like page 25. And then he really seemed rough around the edges, not like a detective that's like working with his witnesses and stuff. So I don't know. I definitely had lots of suspects, but I wasn't like necessarily trying to figure out. I was like, it could be any of them. You know, it literally could. But stupid me, I somehow forgot that Simone St. James goes the supernatural route. And I never think about that when I'm reading her books. I'm thinking like it's a person in this book, you know? And I'm like, and then when it's revealed, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Like, of course it's none of these people that I'm guessing. Okay, so what did you think about the setting? Did you think it was well written? Was it atmospheric? And could you picture it?
Well, I could definitely picture it. I am actually in Michigan. So all of the description about, you know, the big empty road and the prevalent beaches, I'm very familiar with that. But I did have one pretty major complaint. and upon looking on Goodreads, I noticed other people caught on to this as well. So the town of Midland, that's mentioned quite a bit in the book, it's described as being on the southern border of Michigan down near Indiana. It is a real town in Michigan, and it's not anywhere near where the author said it's actually in the middle of the state. So I think that just kind of took me out of the book a little bit.
Anytime a book is set where someone lives, that person is going to be like, no, that is not exactly how it looks. Like, my book club has recently read some books like set around like our area or places that we frequent a lot because they're within like an hour driving distance, like the Outer Banks or something like that. And I'm like, no, honey, it does not look like that. But also just the name Midland, Midland. I'm like, it's in the middle. So even someone not from Michigan thought it was a little odd that they're this town on the coast called Midland. Like, what? And I didn't even look it up. So knowing that I was right makes me feel so good about myself. For me, for the atmosphere and stuff, I just wanted it to be creepier. I needed it to be way creepier. The only thing that I could really see like in my mind's eye was Rose's house. Eddie and April spent some time there, and the Princess Diana posters and the shelves filled with figurines and the pots of fabric flowers and the doilies and the china rabbits and the cats. The comforter was quilted with fringe and throw pillows were covered with white lace. Like, I just saw her house so clearly in my mind, you know? The town didn't seem to have like a distinctive layout. I could never figure out like, okay, where's the hospital? Where's this Atticus line? Where's this beach? Where's Rose's house? Where's the police station? Where's that like store that they went to? Like, where's the school? Like, I needed a map. Atticus Line and Hunter Beach were the main locations mentioned several times, but I thought like I didn't know what they looked like. Like, what did Atticus Road, was it like no trees on the side? Were there a lot of trees on the side? Was it just like a double lane road? Like, what was I supposed to be picturing? And then of course the beach, I love the beach. I'm like, describe the beach, you know? Except for when they were no longer suspects and they were trying to leave the town on Atticus Line, that's when I felt like, I was like, ooh, this is creepy. I love this. But I still wanted more. So that's what I thought. So going into the story, how were you feeling initially, like the first couple of chapters?
I got hooked pretty quickly, I would say. And I think mostly just because things got going right away. So you're kind of immediately like, okay, whoa, what's happening? What's going on?
Yeah, I loved the way it jumped right into things. I was super intrigued about April's backstory because of the things she was like alluding to when they picked up Rhonda Jean. Page 8, everything became clear and still in my head. I knew now that this was why she had looked at me at first like she recognized me. It was because she did. We'd never seen each other before, but we recognized each other. Women like us recognized each other all the time. I was like, what does this mean? And then on page 11, just like a couple pages later, it said, I'd been in the passenger seat of a car once before, begging the driver to go faster, please faster, a long, long time ago. So I was like, okay, we got layers to this story, layers to the characters, initially loving it. I love when a book starts with the action and then it kind of slowly, you know, builds the story from there. Okay, so pop culture references. This is something I feel like people either love or hate in books. I like it as long as it's not like every single pop culture reference ever is put onto the page. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be thrown in the face. So I might have missed some, but the ones that I took note of were on page 17, the O.J. Simpson trial was mentioned. The trial spanned 11 months from November 9th of 1994 to October 3rd of 1995. So I was like, okay, it fits in this time period. On page 75, it had like posters of Alien and Smashing Pumpkins and Pearl Jam and Kurt Cobain. And I'm like, yes. And then page 155, it was talking about Blockbuster. I miss Blockbuster. Okay.
Me too.
Yes. Bring it back. I mean, maybe like it would be different. It would be like, you know, Blu-rays and stuff now. It wouldn't be like VHS, but like bring Blockbuster back, you know? Let's see, Apollo 13, First Night, and then the news story about Tanya Harding. And then when the Alanis was blaring, you ought to know, I was like, yes. And then on page 282, it talks about how Gracie went to an afternoon showing of Dolores Claiborne. So do you like pop culture references in books? Does it ground you in the time period, remind you that we're reading a story that takes place in the 90s? Or does it take you out of the story and you feel like you need to fact check these things?
I mean, I did fact check a couple of those.
Yeah.
And it all fits. So I'm like, okay, we're good. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that these pop culture references usually annoy me or anything. But in this specific instance, I would say I really did enjoy it. And it was kind of cool because it was from a time that I was actually alive and I remember it. And there's some nostalgia there. So I didn't mind it here.
Yeah, it was nostalgic for me too. And yeah, I really liked them. I didn't think it was overkill. Felt like it mixed it up enough and it spaced it out enough that it didn't feel like overkill. But could those things have been taken out and me felt like it was in 1995? Probably not, to be honest. Pacing and plot, what did you think about the pacing and how well did the plot develop for you? Are there any specific moments that stood out?
I thought the pacing was really good, actually, and I didn't ever feel like it was, you know, moving too slowly, and thought it picked up appropriately as the story went along. It kind of increased intensity, which I appreciated. And I did like the plot. Overall, I thought it was well developed. There were just a couple things that I didn't feel were necessary to add to the mix, like the entire money ordeal with April's mom. But some of my favorite moments definitely involved Beatrice and Grace. I thought they added a lot to the story. I enjoyed the scenes with them. And I think probably the scene where they're showing April and Eddie all the files that they have and we're getting all this extra information. And then at the end in the dark room when they're trying to develop pictures, those were definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I wish they would have been used earlier. Yeah. Like they were so fun. And then I also agree with you about like the whole thing with her mom. I think we could have been told like, I guess it was just used to say like, her mom's really alive and in prison or whatever, but I feel like there was a better way. Cause like, what was the point of that scene? You know, but like you, I thought the pacing was fine. It wasn't like fast. It wasn't slow. It was just kind of regular. As for the plot, I just wanted more creepiness. The moments that the Lost Girl was warning April or helping Eddie and April were fun, but there weren't enough of those moments and they were over fairly quickly. The ones that I kind of picked out that like stood out in my mind, page 97, when they were in the Dollar Mart and the door kept jangling as if someone was coming in and then no one was there. And then April spotted the truck outside. I was like, could you imagine being in a store and you just hear that ding, ding, and you look and no one's there. And then it's like, ding, ding, like, what is happening? And then page 130, where April is woken up by a ghost. Page 141, when the lost girl prevents Eddie and April from leaving Cold Lake Falls. I thought that was like probably the creepiest other than the Dollar Mart. Well, I don't know. The dark room was kind of creepy too. But I also thought that it was interesting when April was alerted that something bad is about to happen and then the detective showed up. And then, oh my gosh, when April realizes something is wrong with Trish, the mom that like picked her up on the Atticus line or whatever like that, or she helped her. I don't remember how it went, but all I know is she was like, I could tell something was wrong. And I was like, get out of there. Like, oh, and then she bumps in to like Carter while running from Trish. And then the dark room in the high school, that was pretty creepy because I didn't know at first, like they didn't know either. The characters didn't know, like, is it the janitor? Like what's going on? And it wasn't until they go out and they see like the glass from the red light or whatever saying that someone's in the dark room and stuff like that. But then at the end, when the ghost of Robbie alerts April of trouble, when Haller comes to Rose's house to confront them about breaking into his house. So those were the only, like, I don't know, the big creepy moments, I guess. I guess I just expect if it's going to be paranormal, if it's going to be supernatural, like, I want it to be creepy. I feel like she almost makes it, and this is probably just me for someone that doesn't really like this trope, like this subgenre. If it's going to have it, I want it to be creepy. But she acts like it's a normal thing. Like, oh yeah, it's like a ghost. Duh. And I'm like, no, ghosts are scary. I would be peeing my pants. For me to enjoy, I think, like a ghost story or something supernatural, like I want to be creeped out. I want goosebumps. I want the hair on the back of my neck to raise up. And moving on to some of the twists and reveals, I thought we could just chat about a few of them. And then we can kind of like weigh in with each like one that I came up with. So let's talk about Eddie and April's past. Some of the things we mentioned that we will mention will be graphic and heavy topics to discuss, but we're only mentioning things in the book. So if you read the book, you're prepared. If you haven't, maybe just tread lightly. So what did you think about their past?
I thought it was kind of neat that they both had pasts that they weren't, you know, exactly proud of. It made for an interesting dynamic between them because they both kind of felt like they were a little bit broken, yet at the same time, they both fully accepted each other's darkness. And I thought that was really kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I do like that part. The way you said it just sounds like, aw. I liked that we weren't dealing with straightforward, straight-laced characters. I liked that they had secrets, you know? I also like how everything wasn't dumped on us at once and how bits and pieces were sprinkled throughout the story. Didn't feel info dumpy. I felt like we were getting to know the characters like throughout the story along with everything else that was happening, and I liked that. So I just did a little sum up of Eddie. So he was discharged from the military. He was adopted. He has incidents on his military record, psychiatric incidents. He has a disagreement with another soldier, the unauthorized handgun, and the fact that he was dealing with some PTSD from being in Iraq. And then on page 181, it says, Eddie was still in Iraq when he started seeing things that weren't there. And then one night he woke up with the cold metal of a gun pressed to his temple, this safety being clicked off, but no one was there. And he tried talking to the army doctor about it, and he was discharged with a vague medical condition and a prescription that eventually ran out. And then on page 182, according to the army doctor, my brain thinks someone is trying to kill me because for a long time, someone was trying to kill me. And as someone who has been in the military, not that I have had PTSD from that, I've never gone to war or anything like that, I can sympathize with that because I know people who have been in those situations. Several of my uncles were Navy SEALs and they saw stuff and have, you know, been through stuff that I would not wish on anybody. So anytime there's PTSD from war or military, it always pulls on my heartstrings a little bit. And then also just, I feel like still, we still have such a ways to go with like mental health, mental illness, things like PTSD. Even though it's 2024, like I still feel we have a long ways to go. For April, when she was 12 years old, her mom killed her father and they ran. Imagine that. 12 years old, your mom kills your dad. Like what? On page 182, it says, my father knocked my mother's teeth loose about him pulling his belt from its loop and hitting her with it as she crouched in the corner and then going after her. Diane Cross, April's mom, bludgeoned her sleeping husband to death in his bed with a baseball bat, and she set the bed on fire and fled with April. So lots going on there. I mean, not only like seeing your mom being abused and then thinking like as a woman, especially a young girl, seeing your mom abused, that's a whole nother form of PTSD. And then, you know, then your mom kills the dude and you're on the run. Like, is this what I'm supposed to do if this happens? Like, you know, what does that do to a 12-year-old? Well, I don't know. Next, let's discuss the lost girl. Not her identity just yet, but how she worked. Basically, she was making regular people kill the hitchhikers. I don't think it was very clear how she did it, like how she got into them or whatever. I guess it was just supernatural ghosty. I don't know. But I don't think it was like very explained very well for me. But she was the initial unexplained murder in this town. And then through the years, 1982, 1989, 1991, 1993, and then the most recent, Rhonda Jean in 1995, she somehow influenced these regular people to kill. Why? How? I honestly do not know. And that was what was so confusing to me, because I really like realistic things that can be explained. And this is why paranormal, supernatural things don't work for me. So really all these murders were committed by different people technically, but it was all influenced by the lost girl.
You know, I'm a fan of the supernatural stuff, so I personally loved this explanation. And I kind of saw it as, you know, she was pretty pissed about what happened to her in her death and everything. So she kind of went on a rampage and started possessing other people and forcing them to commit these murders.
I mean, I feel like if you love supernatural or like enjoy it like you do, like I feel like you're like, this checks out.
Yeah, exactly.
She's pissed. She's inhabiting people and she's making them kill people. But I'm like, what did these random people do to you? Like, go after the guy that killed you. Like, that's right. My thing. Why kill all these random innocent people? But, you know, I don't know. These things didn't happen to me. So who knows? But I guess the biggest reveal, at least for me, was that the lost girl was Eddie's biological mother.
It gave me chills. I really liked this development in the story. And, you know, it was just nice for Eddie to finally get some closure about his birth mom.
As things were progressing, I wasn't surprised. I didn't really think about it until it was almost time for the reveal. But I definitely saw it before it happened, but I did like that. Like you, I liked that he got a little bit of closure there because I feel like his life was kind of a mess. We've made it through to the end. What did you think of the ending, the whodunit, and the explanation of why?
I thought things wrapped up pretty nicely. It seemed like the murders finally stopped, Eddie got his closure, and then, you know, the plans for the new construction on the road. To me, that kind of was like a bright light. You know, this road is going to be renovated, there's going to be more peace and lightness brought to the area, and I liked it.
I don't think it was explained well at all. And then secondly, nothing was really shocking to me. I think the other parts, some of the other, you know, reveals that we touched on were shocking, but like the very ending. But on a slightly positive note, I did think it was interesting when Detective Quinn revealed that he knew that they weren't guilty. Like the whole time he knew that they weren't guilty. But he just needed their knowledge as witnesses. And I was like, you think you would have been nicer to them? But cool. And then the whole Cold Lake Falls mall bid and using that as an opportunity to possibly dig up other bodies. I thought that was interesting. So final thoughts what could have made it better for you, or is there anything else you want to touch on?
I mean, like I mentioned before, I was just really irritated about that geographical faux pas of placing Midland in the wrong spot. So it would have been nice if some fact-checking took place regarding that. And then kind of like we talked about before, the whole thing about April's mom draining their joint bank account while she was in prison, I didn't feel like that added anything to the storyline, except kind of how you mentioned to show her mom's alive, she's in prison, and she's a selfish person. But I think we kind of saw that already in some of April's backstory, so it, again, wasn't really necessary. I also wasn't entirely satisfied with the fact that the lost girl was murdered by her father. Like, what? I think the whole angry ghost thing would have made more sense if it had just been, you know, a senseless random murder, or maybe some guy was trying to assault her and she was fighting but lost.
Yeah, that was another thing. Like, I don't think that's for this lost girl to be basically responsible for all of these deaths throughout the years, whether it was like technically her or not. Her death, I thought, would have been explained a little bit more, her relationship with her father, exactly how she was murdered. I think that could have been like a bigger moment within the story. But I don't think that the ghost did it is ever going to be satisfying to me. However, I would have liked more of an explanation why she was making other people kill the hitchhikers. Like I said, like, these are innocent people. Like, what do they have to do with your death type thing? Maybe she was just eternally angry and she was like, kill them all. Like, I don't know. Again, one last time, just to drill it home, I wanted it to be creepier, more unsettling, and eerie. So, what's your final rating and how did you enjoy the book overall?
Well, I went back and forth between 3 and 4 stars so many times. I literally changed my rating in Storygraph, I think 5 times.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I couldn't decide. If I did half ratings, it would honestly be a 3.5, but I don't. So ultimately, I did go with a 4-star. So, I mean, yes, there were things I didn't like, but for the most part, this book hooked me. I still think about it, and I finished it a week ago. Yeah. And that says a lot, I think. So 4 stars.
Yay. Well, despite me saying like how I don't like ghost stories and like blah, 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 there was still so much that I did like about it. So I'm giving it 3 stars, which obviously Okay. Very close to your thoughts and feelings. I did like Eddie and April, and I did like their backstories and trying to figure out what was happening. Mm-hmm. Like, again, not into the supernatural paranormal, but I just need to be mindful of that moving forward and know that maybe Simone St. James is not the author for me. I don't know. But that's a wrap on our discussion of Murder Road by Simone St. James. But now let's hear what you had to say.
Hi, my name is Angie. I go by Book Mama on YouTube. I gave Murder Road by Simone St. James 3 stars. There were a number of things I really liked about the book. I found the paranormal scenes to be intense and really rather frightening at times. I liked Eddie and I liked some of the side characters, but I really, really did not like April. But in the end, I kind of felt like the overall mystery just fell flat for me, especially the end. The end I really struggled with. But I guess honestly, what got me the most about the book is that they just wouldn't leave town. It did not make any sense to me. So yeah, those are my thoughts about Murder Road.
Thanks so much for reading and discussing the book with me, Elise.
Thank you so much for having me on, Gwen. It's been an honor.
Talk Bookish to Me is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you book discussions, recommendations, and literary topics galore. Follow me on Instagram at Talk Bookish Podcast. Rate and review the podcast on Apple and Spotify. The link for Patreon is in the show notes, along with links for Elise's social media. Until next time, happy reading.